This episode is brought to you in part by Growth Collective, the creative first agency specializing in Shopify stores. With rising costs in e-commerce, higher goods prices, increasing shipping rates, and soaring ad expenses, it could be tough to profit. Today, I want you to meet Growth Collective, a creative first agency that has an enviable track record with brands like BombTech Golf, Hush Blankets, CrossNet, Firebelly Tea, and more. By focusing on creating beautiful ads that resonate with your customer, they not only manage to make advertising profitable for their clients, but they make them scale too. And they have a special offer for you, my dear listener. Receive 30% off your first 3 months when you sign up for media buying services with Growth Collective. Get top-notch creative, state-of-the-art dashboards and tracking, and a team that's dedicated to your brand's growth. With a minimum value of $5,000 in savings, it's truly an offer too good to pass up. Visit wearegrowth.co and mention the unofficial Shopify podcast. Unlock your store's potential with a growth partner with a proven track record like Growth Collective. That's wearegrowth.co. Oh, today on the unofficial Shopify podcast, I have a wonderful guest, a inspirational guest, a guest who has achieved so much, who's got a store that's doing product launches in the two comma club, is known as the queen of marketing, has something like 250,000 social followers, and did it all herself, bootstrapped it, like did all of it, just an incredible journey. And I'm lucky I got to be a part of it. We built them a custom Shopify theme over the last 6 months. And that is really cool. I'm proud of that. But today we're talking to Mia Ray from Glamaholic Lifestyle. Mia, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Kurt.
Oh, my pleasure. All right. So I gave a brief intro there, but can you introduce yourself and tell us about your brand, about Glamaholic Lifestyle?
Absolutely. My name is Mia Ray. I was born and raised and still living in Detroit, Michigan. I started Glamaholic Lifestyle 14 years ago, which was birthed from my fashion and lifestyle blog, Confessions of a Glamaholic, which I had started the prior year. So this is my 15th year on this entrepreneurial journey that, you know, has been every bit of a roller coaster. I started the blog, and then from there, it went on into what Glamaholic Lifestyle has become now, today. Handbag, luggage, lifestyle accessory brand that everyone just seems to love.
They're like 15 years ago, you're blogging online. That was redundant. You were blogging about fashion around that time. I guess, would you have gotten on Instagram? Like, when does social media start to get in here?
So Instagram was not even a thought when I started blogging. So in 2009, Instagram was not around. I remember the day I joined Instagram. I think I joined Instagram maybe the tail end of like 2010, maybe 2011. So back then it was strictly Facebook. And I always tell people, like, I'm a dinosaur. I did all of this with just Facebook. And what I would do was I started my blog and I would write my posts and I would pour my little heart out about some shoes that Kim Kardashian had on the night before and how we could find them for so much cheaper, because my blog was strictly about the look for less, how to make the best out of what you had, how to remix your clothes, because I'm the everyday around the way girl. You know, I don't come from money, didn't have it, you know, never knew how to manage it, anything. So I was basically just blogging about how to make the best out of what you had. And then from there, I would take my post and post them on Facebook. So back then, only Facebook friends I had was my actual real family and friends, not just random strangers that, you know, would just come and follow you. But from there, I really did build it from sharing on Facebook and then just getting more and more people to come over and read my blog.
And so you've got this blog. Blog's about fashion, and I like that theme. Get the look for less. People are attracted to it. You're growing an audience. Did you have a fashion background? Like, how'd you get into that?
Absolutely. Actually, no. I graduated from high school and I was just always known as, I call myself like the Black Punky Brewster. Like, I literally, I would wear whatever I wanted to wear. I would wear my hair however I wanted to wear it. And people would just start coming to me for advice. Hey, Mia, can you go shopping with me? I'm looking for an outfit to wear to a wedding. Mia, can you tell me which shoes would look best for this? Mia, how should I style my hair for this event? So it was just that people just naturally gravitated to me because that's just who I was. I was just that girl that just lived out loud and I loved fashion. I feel like I studied it. Well, you know, I'll be 40 this year, so I call myself a little old lady sometimes. You know, back in the day, we used to just read magazines. We weren't scrolling on a phone. We weren't, you know.
I miss magazines.
Me too. But back then, I would study the stylist, whoever did the shoot. You know, in the back in magazines, you can read and see who did the shoot. Where did they have it? What were they wearing? And I just connected to that. So I don't have like a formal background in fashion. All I have is a high school education. I'm a college dropout. I gave birth to my first son when I was 17 years old. So everything that I have formed as what people would look at as this fashion or lifestyle influencer, it was just strictly from, you know, learning and reading and being so in tune with what was going on with the streets. Like, what are people wearing? What are people, you know, what's the trend that's going on right now? And even today, people are like, Mia, you are always on trend with the big designers. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I keep my ears to the streets. I like to say I know what people like, I know what people want, but no formal background in fashion at all.
So it was a passion. It was something you wanted to pursue. You were viewed it as like, this is you. This is you being true to yourself. And then people recognized that and reinforced it by being like, hey, can you help me too? In the early days of that blog, you know, before you're making your own products, you know, I'm sure there were a couple key moments where you went, like, this has got potential. I should chase this. I should keep going with this. Because it's writing a blog, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of writing.
It is. And you know what? It's so much work. And I didn't even have a clue what a blog was. Before I started the blog, I would be on Facebook posting pictures of Beyonce and Kim Kardashian and, you know, all the fashion girls and talking about what they wore. And my good friend, Wallow, he asked me out to a Starbucks date one day. He said, I need to talk to you. And he said, you need to start a blog. And Kurt, I looked at him and I said, what is a blog? I had no clue. Keep in mind, this is 2009. Like, people were blogging, but not how it is now, today. And he sat and he explained to me, and I went home and I Googled it. And I started my blog the very next day. So to sit, and I don't consider myself a writer. I don't consider myself someone who, once again, I didn't have a clue what it was. But I sat at my computer every day and I talked to myself as if I was talking to my homegirls. And I think that's where the connection of my readers and now my followers and customers started, because I was just being myself. So back then, not knowing what a blog was, I was like, this is a lot of work, but I enjoyed it. So then when I would go out in public and go to the mall, when women would start walking up to me and saying, hey, Mia, I read your blog and I went and bought those shoes. And I'm like, you read my blog? I could not believe that people were actually reading it. So from there, then here comes Twitter. So I was on Twitter before I was on Instagram. So when I started to see that people would like respond, retweet, all these things, I'm like, oh, I have to keep going. Because if I stop, what if somebody comes to my blog to read it and I haven't blogged in like 3 weeks? So from there, I was like, oh, I have to be consistent. I can't start something and then stop it when I now know that I have an audience. So that was kind of like my blogging aha moment. Like, okay, I have to keep this party going. People are watching. People are reading. People are taking my advice. Oh, I can't stop. So that's really where my consistency came from. And then, Kurt, I'm not going to lie, maybe about 9 months after starting the blog, I was like, okay, I'm not making any money. I said, I'm not making any money from this. So I have to figure something out. And from me not making money from my blog and being an affiliate wasn't, that's what influencers used to be called, affiliates. You know, we would have affiliate links. And you talk about I'm making like $10 a month from sharing some Steve Madden shoes or something. I was like, yeah, I got to make some money. From there, that is where Glamaholic Lifestyle was birthed.
But that's such a, all right, so I get, like, you get the blog gets you comfortable. Like, I'm online, I'm creating content. You know, before we had, it went, the terms really went like blogger, influencer. Now they say creator. I'm still stuck on influencer. But you're blogging and you figured out that consistency is critical and you've got this audience growing. You're like, all right, how do we monetize this? Because at some point, once you realize like you have to publish consistently to see results, it's like going to the gym.
Yeah.
But at that point, it starts to become a job. You're like, all right, I gotta see some out of this. Put in a lot of time here for you people. So what? You've got that audience now. Okay, great. But jumping from like, hey, I'm blogging to, hey, I'm launching a product, I'm making products. That's huge. That's a big jump. How does that happen?
Ooh, it was such a big jump. But if I could tell you, Kurt, I feel like they were waiting for it. People were reading and they were really in tune with what I was sharing and my advice and my tips that I felt like they wanted that connection to Glamaholic. So when I launched the bag, it was literally like, okay, Mia, here goes nothing. And I always tell people when I do give advice, especially in this day and age, I feel like sometimes people do it backwards. They create the product. And then they're scrambling, trying to figure out who to sell it to. And I did the opposite. I built my community. I built my readers. And then I offered them a product for them to purchase that made them have that connection to both me, the blog, and now the new brand. So it was a big thing, but it worked out so well that, and Kurt, when I tell you I had $0, I had $0. I put that tote bag, my first tote bag, on my blog and I said, pre-order now. And I said, I'm only going to order 100 bags. I think I sold 50 of them in my first maybe 2 weeks, maybe. And that's all I needed to cover my entire shipment. So the fact that I didn't let me not having any money stop me, I didn't let me not knowing anything about being an entrepreneur stopped me. I was just like, I'm going to just jump out the window and see what happens.
And so the first product is a tote bag. You got a minimum order quantity is 100. How'd you find somebody to make it for you? How'd you get it made? How'd you accept payment for it? Like, what was that process like?
I started the blog and I thought I was doing something. And I said, oh, I need some business cards. And this guy came to, you know, design my business cards. And somehow we just grew into having this business friendship. And we would go to Starbucks and I would be working on my blog and he would be working on his thing, which he was manufacturing school uniforms for like bands and, you know, different activities at different schools. And I will always carry my notebooks and my computer and all these things. And one day I asked him, I said, can you create me a bag that I can toss all my things into when we go to Starbucks? And he looked at me and he was like, why won't you create it? And I was like, I don't know. I don't know nothing about making no bags. And I went home that night and I Googled it. He told me to think about all the details that you will want in a bag. Like, what is it that you would want? And I went home and I screenshot pictures and I put my logo here and my first bag, which was a crazy huge mistake. I had satin lining, which made no sense because if I'm putting heavy books and computers in it, of course the satin lining is going to rip. But I thought it was genius. So I sent him back over the design. he sent it to his manufacturer. They created the sample. He sent it back over to me. We took a picture of it on my iPhone and said, pre-order now, and put it on the blog. So I didn't go through what most people would go through with, like, I have to find a manufacturer, I have to do this. It was purely that connection and that relationship that I had with someone. And even though he's moved on and done other things, I still have that same manufacturer from 14 years ago. He is literally like my brother. He is my family. I mean, I've never even met him. I did take a trip over to China, but he was too far out for me to go visit him. But to this day, I still have the same. So we've grown so much in the past 14 years. And we understand each other so much. So my story is sometimes not relatable because I didn't have to do what other people had to do in that perspective of finding a manufacturer.
As we ring in the new year, did you know that over 90% of Shopify merchants won't hit their maximum revenue in 2024? Ugh! That's because they're killing their conversion rates by using outdated landing page designs and default templates. You work hard all year, and you deserve to realize your dream of owning a successful store. But without the right tools, it's like running a marathon with lead weights tied to your feet. That's where Zipify Pages comes in. Zipify Pages is the game-changing landing page builder created by the founder of a $180 million Shopify store. It has everything you need to transform your store into a high-converting, sales-generating machine. Zipify Pages' intuitive builder, mobile-optimized templates, and AI-powered features are helping thousands of Shopify stores boost their conversion rates and run more profitable marketing campaigns. Zipify Pages improves every page on your Shopify store. Just select a template from their template library and then quickly customize it to match your brand. You can easily create better product pages, landing pages, category pages, even home pages. And because every Zipify template is tested on their $180 million Shopify store, you know they actually work. So don't let 2024 drift by with unmet revenue goals. Upgrade your store today with Zipify Pages and make this your best new year yet. Go to zipify.com/Kurt to start a free 14-day trial. That's zipify.com/KURT to try Zipify Pages for free.
You built the audience. That's the hard part. I think really it's the hard part for a lot of people. It was because you followed your passion and you got lucky and someone said, hey, start a blog. Like, okay, why not? And then someone else said, hey, why don't you make your own bag, and had the connection for you. All right. So for sure, there's some luck here, but also, you know, you went and said, all right, I'll pursue that. It's not without risk. You put the product out there, and because people are familiar with you and like you and trust you, and they clearly you had an eye for it, they like the bag, you get the pre-orders. So you're able to deliver those. And then what? You know, how do you go from blog that sold 100 bag pre-orders to, you know, the business today that, I know the numbers. You're one of our most successful clients.
I know people will look at Mia Ray and Glamaholic and think that this was an overnight thing. I tell people this all the time. I may have slowed down life, pregnancy, heartbreak, whatever. I may have slowed down, but I never stopped. So from the tote bag, the initial 100 tote bags that I ordered and sold, I then tried my hand at t-shirts. T-shirts, mega success. It was just out of the park. They love the t-shirts. Then I went into makeup pouches to match the tote bag. So then you could have on the matching tote bag, the t-shirt, and you could drop your makeup pouch inside of it. Then I had a hat. So it was kind of like I was trying to do this whole collection, but one at a time. I would roll out these things many, many moons apart, right? I sold the same exact bag, just in different colors for about 8 years. So that same tote bag, I offered it in black and pink. Then I offered it in tan and pink. Then I offered it in black and black. Then I offered it in gray. Same tote bag. And my followers and customers and readers would buy every single last one of them. Nobody ever complained. Mia, why are you selling us the same bag over and over? I was just trying to get my footing. I was just trying to build my foundation. I was just trying to figure it out. And at that time, that was the only thing that I could provide. fast forward to 2017, maybe 2017, 18, because I had a little break where I wasn't making enough money to afford to live. So I took a break and I started doing network marketing. I did that for about 2 years, I grew that business. That way I could start making money, enough money to now fuel Glamaholic Lifestyle. So from that money, I can now make passport covers. I can now make travel wallets. Anytime I made any money, I put it right back into my brand. Still, I'm not even hitting the $5,000 a month mark when it came to Glamaholic Lifestyle. 2018, I'm on my knuckles, Kurt. I'm trying to figure this out. I'm like, hey, I'm going to just go to real estate school. I know how to sell stuff. I'm going to go sell some houses. Like, maybe this is not working out for me. But it was something that told me, don't stop. Once again, I never stopped. I only slowed down. I said, okay, I'm going to go to real estate school. I remember being at home and I was waiting on this delivery of black glam totes to arrive from China. And my assistant came in and she said, Mia, did you know that the totes were at the garage? UPS must not have rung the doorbell. Kurt, I hopped up. I said, okay, we got to figure out how we're going to sell these bags today. From the moment they arrived at my garage at about 8:30, I hopped on Instagram. Now I'm on Instagram and I'm already marketing on Instagram for the past 8-9 years, right? I hop on Instagram and I said, everybody meet me on my live at noon. I'm going to do something that I've never done before. Because that was when Instagram Live first happened. And that's where people think this happened overnight, because that day I did a sale on the glam totes. And this is how wording is kind of like trickery when it comes to marketing. I said, everybody, you guys can buy these bags, one for $50 or two for $100. Oh, the crowd went, wow, they said two for $100.
Tell you what, I'll give you four for
$200. All right, let's keep it going. I made $13,000 in an hour.
Did you sell the whole inventory in one go, just going on live?
I didn't even sell all of it. I had only put a certain amount because I want to save a certain amount just in case. I'm always like, let me just sit a little bit to the side. I took that $13,000, sent it right back to China and bought more inventory. So that is where the Glamaholic shopping experience came about, which I've always had a dream of being on the Home Shopping Network, QVC. And Kurt, I knew they wasn't coming to the ghetto to find me, right? So I just created my own. And from there, that's where the Glamaholic shopping experience happened. $13,000 an hour, $30,000 an hour. And then I did $182,000 in like 3 minutes. And that's where I was like, whoa. And that's when people saw the Glamaholic explosion. And from that day, I have not stopped. From that day when I didn't have any money and those boxes were on the side of the garage and I was trying to figure it out, I had already been in business for 10 years. From that day up until this day, Glamaholic has done $50 million.
Yeah, nothing to sneeze at. Well, give me the typical cost of, or typical, you know, what you sell one of these bags for usually. Just put it in perspective for folks.
My thing with Glamaholic is I wanted to create affordable luxury. I was the mom who couldn't afford the Gucci, the Louis Vuitton, the Chanel, and all the designer bags. But I also didn't want a Target or Walmart bag either. And no disrespect, because I love Target. But I wanted something. I wanted something that people could afford and wear it as if they were wearing a Gucci or a Chanel or anything. You know, you could walk with pride and knowing that you have on a very detailed, on-trend, affordable bag. So my most expensive bag, we have one genuine leather bag that's $250. But everything else ranges from $28 for a passport cover up to about $120 for the new Pebble. I think it might be 140, 120 or 140 for the new Pebble tote bag. So there is nothing on my website that is over $250.
But you're the one designing and manufacturing it. We're not doing resale. And so I imagine we've got, you get good margins on it, and then you're able to not overprice it. You're in a wonderful but potentially difficult space. Like, you're in the middle. You're not Walmart. You're not the cheapest thing. You're not Louis Vuitton, so we're not at the highest end. You're in the middle. Is that ever, that's a good or a bad thing, or it's just, it is what it is?
I think it's a great thing. And I'll tell you why I think it's a great thing. It's more everyday women like me who can afford a Glamaholic bag than there is people who can afford the expensive bags. You know, and I'm only saying that because people don't have to break the bank. They don't have to do anything, do something strange for a piece of change to buy one of my bags. You know, they can, they can literally say, hey, I'm going to budget or include Glamaholic in my everyday budget. I feel like it's a great thing. It's a great space for me because I'm amongst Steve Madden, which I'm sure is probably a billion-dollar, you know, situation. Coach, who is top dog, and I've looked at their price point, and, you know, we're kind of in the same vicinity. I am amongst the greats who deliver to the everyday people. So I think it's really good. I'm in a great space. I do not desire to ever make a bag over $300. That's not even on my radar. I plan, and I know I'm going to stay true to why I started. And I started it for everyday women like myself who never knew what it was like to have a dust bag for their purse, who never knew what it was like to get grand packaging and open up a cardboard box with a logo on it and have all these different accessories. I created my toiletry bag collection strictly because, Kurt, when I travel and I pack my suitcase, I would put my clothes in a Ziploc bag. That was my, that was how I packed my suitcase. So I wanted to create the things that the women who are like me and from where I'm from and had the income that I had could feel that level of luxury, but I could afford it.
And that's like core to the brand. The tagline is affordable luxury, right?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
I'm still, and is that part of like the brand story? How do you phrase that to people, or do they just pick up on it?
Well, I do phrase it in a way that I just always say, anytime I'm on a podcast or on stage, you know, I wanted to create what I wish existed. I always say, Oprah told me, I have like mental mentors, and Oprah is one of them. So I'll say things like, well, Oprah told me I needed to create what I wish existed. And that's exactly what I did. So when people see the price tag of something and they're like, this is only $70? This looks so nice. Like, what? And I'm like, yeah, I think that's where it clicks. And then when they see my customers, and my customers are like walking billboards, they will tell you about the bag. Then they're going to tell you about me. Then they're going to tell you about my story. So all of that comes together with the line of affordable luxury. And I think people just see like, hey, this is different. And it's also different because, to be honest, Kurt, I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. I'm not. I am offering the everyday basic essentials and on-trend accessories and all the things that people, or well, women, men and women, because men wear my bags too, men and women would like to have, but also not break the bank.
A part of it's the presentation too. I have that same reaction going to your site. Just the stuff photographs really well. Your photos are really good. The brand has a really nice look to it. It's like, it's high contrast, black on white, paired with this hot pink. I love it. And it has there's a positive vibe to it too. Like, the product description on a bag opens with be glam, be fab, be you with a Glamaholic lifestyle tote, and then goes on to describe the bag. And, you know, it's like, why you'd love this. There is something positive, you know, and upbeat about you. And that comes through in the brand and even comes through in the product. Like, they're clean, they're good looking, they're bright. you know, there a lot of the stuff is hot pink, which is great. and then, you know, I'll look at it and be like, you know, oh, this bag's only $80. This bag's only $90. There, I am consistently surprised by the pricing as well. You know, I'm not the target market here, but I have the same reaction. Are you still doing the live selling today?
So what I do now is we've grown so accustomed to when that happened, I just kept it going. So now I do drops. So what started as me going live to sell these bags, I now have planned drops. So I let them know the date, the time, the products, the price, and all the great things that's going to happen on that particular day. When that day comes, I then go live and I discuss everything with my customers. This is what can fit in it. This is how you can wear it. This is, you know, how much it costs. This is the detail of the zipper. So I do still go live and I do my QVC, HSN-esque delivery of showing the customer the product. I do that an hour before the drop. So I'm talking, I'm talking, I'm showing all these things. And then at 3 o'clock, boom, the website opens. So I still do it and they love it. Anytime I miss a drop or if, you know, I'm on vacation maybe or whatever it might be and I don't go live, they are like, Mia, where are you? Hello, it's time to go live. But yes, I still do it. I really enjoy it. I would love to, you know, build upon that and make that a full extension of the brand. But yes, my customer loves when I go live to showcase the products before I drop.
You know, knowing that now and being the one who helped build this website, we totally should have worked like product video of you explaining the product into the product pages.
Kurt, that is so genius.
Yeah, like you're making the video anyway. You're good at it. That we know that's what sells it. You put that onto the product. And in Shopify now, you could even just, like, I wouldn't even have to do anything. Like, you just if you could export the video, you could just drag and drop it as a photo. It'll just pop up. It'll work.
Thank you, Kurt. I'm going to do that.
Yeah, that's a great idea. My friends, say goodbye to inventory headaches. We're spotlighting Finale Inventory, our fabulous sponsor. And I got a chance to speak with Pauline from Finale, and she shared some key insights. Check this out.
The big one is overselling. So it's all about like those real-time syncs and understanding at any given point in time where inventory stands, but also just making sure that, you know, Amazon doesn't have a different number than your Shopify store so that you're not, you know, again, overselling. But we're always avoiding the overselling.
That's what sets Finale apart. Real-time inventory tracking across all your sales channels. And there's a bonus for our listeners.
We would love to offer your listeners a 20% off offer for their first 3 months.
Finale Inventory isn't just another tool. It's your pathway to seamless inventory management. Get started with their free 2-week trial and experience the ease. Visit finaleinventory.com and remember the code unofficial2024 for your exclusive offer. That's it for now. Keep tuning in. There's social selling is a big part of this. Like you as the brand advocate is a big part of this. And I think they have being a creator led brand, you know, and early on that idea, like you know, many ways you're a trendsetter here. But now you've moved into doing product drops, which that I like that model a lot. You know, the strange part about it is it frustrating for customers? A majority of your products are out of stock. And that is the nature of this style of business.
It's very frustrating to my customer, but one thing, Kurt, if something sells out, I am bringing it back. Okay. Unless it's like strictly like limited, this is so special. If it's not, I'm bringing it back. Because a lot of times, Kurt, it kind of started as me trying to test the waters. So a lot of times entrepreneurs will order a ton of something. And then they're trying to figure out how to get rid of it. Well, I'm kind of the opposite. I'm going to start with a smaller inventory, see how everyone likes it. And then when I restock, I restocked a ton because I know now that this is what my customer wants. It's been times where I did a smaller inventory drop and they didn't respond to it as well as I thought that they would. Okay, great. I'm not losing out on any money. I'm not stressing about how am I going to get these things sold. So my little formula that I do for myself is I start small, see how they react to it, then I go big. And ever since I've started doing that, I don't sit on much inventory. I do still have a fully stocked website. You know, it might not be the particular product that you want, but I have plenty of other things.
I want my hot pink tote bag. Yes. Out of stock.
But you know one thing, Kurt, because, and this has a lot to do with like scaling, I really didn't know how to scale. It came so quick and so fast that a lot of things did sell out, but I realized that I was missing out on money. When things are sold out, that means I'm missing money. So a lot of times I already have in my head that this is my little routine and this is how it goes. I don't like being sold out of products. I don't. That was never on purpose. It was never on purpose. It was strictly because the demand was higher than my supply, but it still worked in my favor because I never invested too much inventory. And then I was trying to figure out, oh my God, what to do with all of this. Well, I did do that. I did that once. I don't know if this will come up later in our questions, but I did do that one time and it worked to my advantage big time.
Were you overbought on inventory? Because like, all right, yes. There's a trade-off here. If I buy too much inventory, I got bags of cash sitting on my shelves at a warehouse. That doesn't do me any good, right? And I'm paying to store that stuff. Hoping something doesn't happen to it. Versus if I sell out of everything, I don't have that problem. But also, to your point, no one's buying because there's no product to buy. So what do I do? So tell me about, you've been too successful here. Tell me about a time you messed things up.
Okay, here we go. I'm so headstrong in what I want out of my brand. I don't let too many people tell me what to do or you should do this or you should try that. I don't do that often, right? I usually stick to my guns and I'm like, no, this is my baby. I know exactly what my baby wants and how my baby works, right? And this time, people suggested that I order like this large amount of inventory because, you know, we had plans on doing this huge campaign that didn't work out. So now here I am stuck with all of this inventory in which I was banking on this campaign with the celebrity to sell these bags, right? Well, that fell through and here I am with all of this inventory. And Kurt, I'm talking about thousands upon thousands and thousands of bags, right? So I'm sitting here and now I have to lease an additional warehouse just to house these bags. Well, I said, I'm not going into 2024 with all of these bags. I have to figure something out. They have to go. My money is tied up in this inventory. I'm leasing an entirely new warehouse just to keep them secure. And I said, this was a week before my birthday. My birthday is November 23rd, which last year was on Thanksgiving. Sometimes it's on Black Friday. I said, I'm going to do a birthday Black Friday sale and I'm going to get rid of these bags. Perfectly good bags. Everybody loves them. I love mine. It was just that I had so many. I had too many, Kurt. And I said, on my birthday, I'm going to do 50% off of all of these bags. They have to go. I want people to carry them. I want people to enjoy these bags. They don't need to just sit in this warehouse and collect any more dust. Kurt, I put those bags on sale on Thanksgiving. And from Thanksgiving to Cyber Monday, I got over 20,000 orders.
So this was your big like Black Friday deal. So you bought all this inventory because you're like a celebrity influencer who was on the line, was going to help promote it, and they dropped out?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, well, guess what? You're the celebrity influencer now.
Okay. I said, oh, all I need is me.
And so that became the Black Friday deal. I guess that worked.
It blew my mind. We had got maybe about 10,000 orders before, you know, doing a big drop over, you know, like a course of a few days, but over 20,000, I didn't see it coming. I did not see it coming, but it worked out. So even when I thought that this thing was, you know, somewhat of a bad thing, it still turned out to be an amazing thing. I had never done anything like that before, ever.
What blows me away, like knowing the success of the business, but also knowing like how many untapped opportunities there are in here, right? Like there's just a lot of things other people might be doing. Like, are you doing anything? I would imagine you're not doing anything with really like performance marketing with like Facebook ads, Google ads, because you can't keep the inventory in stock.
No, I've never ran a Facebook ad before.
There's so many people who are like in their car screaming right now at that comment.
I don't even know how. I don't know. Now this year I'd hire, you know, a complete marketing team and they're going to do that. But from me starting in 2010 to sitting here talking to you today, Kurt, I don't know anything about Facebook ads. I've never ran one.
Consider yourself lucky. It's been 15 years and your journey, you know, incredible. You know, from where you started to where you got to early on, I bet you had a vision of like what success looked like. Today, you've achieved that. How do you, has your idea, your vision of success evolved or, you know, changed or surprised you in some way?
Oh, deeply. It has deeply evolved. You know, when you're broke, your goal is like, oh, if I ever have $1 million, oh, wow. You know, and now here I am today. And I'm like, oh, yes, that is a great part of it. But it's also, I'm still like a student. I'm still learning. Like success to me is I can't get comfortable here and not, you know, in a way about the amount of money, but just in, I'm such a sponge because I want to do more. And by more, I mean even helping people more. It's not so many people that are from where I'm from that can still reach back and tell people, hey, do X, Y, Z. Like now, that is what success looks like to me. When I can tell my girl who's like, hey, I'm going to start pajama line and all these different things. And I'm like, oh, do it like this. And you should make sure you do X, Y, and Z. So if I have that piece of advice that now propels that person into that, that's what success looks like to me. Because at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, I had a dream of being able to be successful and make the money and all those things. All of that is great. But success to me now is having a peace of mind. I am now at the CEO level where I don't have to always be in the trenches or be at the warehouse and know what's going on. That's success to me. I can literally get up and do whatever I want to do and check a few emails and go on about my day. To me, that's success.
That's beautiful. I love that. What's your day-to-day like? What's a typical day in the life of Mia Ray like?
So now I get to wake up. Well, now, so my oldest is 22 now, and then I have a younger 10-year-old. I get to make his breakfast, drop him off at school, come home, check my emails, and I still have a full to-do list. I'm not sitting back somewhere with my feet kicked up. I can now look at a to-do list, and then I can now delegate. Okay, this needs to be done. I now have a whole team of people that I can delegate to make sure these things happen. Then sometimes I'll go take a nap. Sometimes I'll get up and, you know, do whatever it is that I need to do. But, Kurt, I would be lying to you if I told you I still work every day. It just looks a little different. But I still work every day.
I just keep thinking, it's like, it's the freedom. It's the peace of mind. Like, that's the real thing you're getting.
Absolutely.
For someone who's listening, you know, maybe like a young woman is listening and thinking, you know, I want to start my own fashion brand, my own lifestyle brand. What would you tell them?
This is my advice, because I want people to really know that you can start right where you are with what you have. It's never going to be a perfect time. It's never going to be the perfect day. You're never going to have enough money. Even when you think you have enough money, you still don't. It's never going to be all of those things that you think that it has to be. When you think that, think of Mia Ray, because she did this with zero money, zero background, zero education, but she did it. I was so confident in these bags. I was so confident in this brand, Kurt, that I made everybody else fall in love with it too. I've been in love with it day one, you know, but then for me to stand up, I had to go against people calling me fake Louis Vuitton, laughing at me. That G ain't Gucci. I don't care. I know it's not as glamaholic, you know? So you have to be so confident in what it is that you are putting out into the world that you become unshakable. They could not laugh me out of this brand. They could not dog or call it cheap. They couldn't do it. I'm unshakable when it comes to this brand because I believe in it so much. And I'm not for everybody. I'm okay with that. I'm not for everybody. But I'm for who I'm for. And it clearly shows that the people who are for me, they want these products. So starting right where you are with what you have could literally propel you into your wildest dreams.
And I get that is great advice. And I guarantee the people who are like in the comments, you know, criticizing you, never made a thing in their life, right? They never created anything. That's why they're ripping on you.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. So where can we find out more about you and about Glamaholic Lifestyle?
Well, my website for Glamaholic Lifestyle is glamaholiclifestyle.com, of course. On Instagram, I am Mia Ray, so just M-I-A-R-A-Y. I'm not really big on Facebook anymore. I'm going to let the marketing team handle that. I've started my Snapchat life all over again recently, so I'm back on Snapchat at M-M-M-I-A-R-A-Y. That stands for Money Making Mia Ray. That's where I go to like do me, you know, not solely about the brand or anything, but where I could just let my personality shine, because after building a brand for 15 years, that is literally all people want me to talk about is work. And sometimes I'm like, I want to play a little bit.
Right. Yeah.
But the brand's Instagram is Glamaholic Lifestyle as well.
All right. Final question. Because you got your ear to the streets, I hear. Make a prediction for me. Like what's coming down the pipe? You know, what might surprise us about the fashion world? Anything?
Oh, good question, Kurt. Well, definitely. I feel like mini bags has had their moment, but I feel like big bags, big slouchy bags are coming back. If we notice, like, baggy is in now, Drake, Lil Baby, all the rappers are now starting to go oversized. When we remember, like, just a few years ago, everybody was wearing skinnies. So I feel like oversized is coming back in fashion, and definitely not just in clothing, but in bags as well. So I might have some larger bags coming down the pipeline. So
I'm not going to hold you to it, but I'm sure you're right. And you certainly know more than I ever would. You're right. This has been fabulous. Thank you so much for doing this with me and for sharing your journey. And sorry for listeners, absolutely. Check out Glamaholic Lifestyle. Check out what they're doing on Instagram. Follow Mia Ray. Ton of fun.
Thank you, Kurt. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate this.
Crowdfunding campaigns are great. You can add social proof and urgency to your product pre-orders while reducing risk of failure. But with traditional crowdfunding platforms, you're paying high fees and giving away control, all while your campaign is lost in a sea of similar offers. It can be frustrating. That's why we built Crowdfunder, the Shopify app that turns your Shopify product pages into your own independent crowdfunding campaigns. We originally created Crowdfunder for our private clients, and it was so successful, we turned it into an app that anyone can use. Today, merchants using Crowdfunder have raised millions collectively. With Crowdfunder, you'll enjoy real-time tracking, full campaign control, and direct customer engagement. And it's part of the Built for Shopify program, so you know it's easy to use. So say goodbye to high fees and hello to successful store-based crowdfunding. Start your free trial and transform your Shopify store into a pre-order powerhouse today Search Crowdfunder in the Shopify App Store to get started.